Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We are at 105.7 FM, The Fan, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. More from you guys, 799-1250. Packers free agency quiet yet again. Earl Thomas, the Seattle Seahawks safety, he's still out there. You go 2 years, $30 million on him, or are you going to see him slip away? Well, also, there was another defensive guy that was scooped up within the last 10 minutes or so off the board for the Packers. We'll update you on that in a minute. It's also a Tuesday, Freems, so it is our Twitter Tuesday question this week. Let's say you're in a pinch, okay? You're going away for the weekend, little romantic weekend, but you got your kid at home, and you can't find a babysitter. Who are your top three choices to watch your kid for the weekend, picking only from Wisconsin athletes?
Oh, okay. Boy, that's a good question. From what we know of these guys,
yeah,
I would say number one, Giannis.
So Giannis, you'd want to watch your kid, and you guys can tweet in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use the hashtag CWLunch, your chance to win $20 to Perkins.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, kid's going to have some fun. I mean, Giannis is a good guy. Of course, Giannis got a lot of money to spend, too. So you don't have to worry about giving Giannis any money to spend on your kid, because Giannis is going to take care of that. All of these pro athletes could. I think Brooke Lopez is another one.
Yeah, he might be good.
I think Brooke Lopez is another good guy.
I could see him singing a little Baby Shark with the kids.
Yeah. I think Brooke Lopez, I feel like Lopez is always like the halftime interview of Katie George. Ever notice that? I mean, I come off the court, it's always Brooke Lopez.
Twitter's noticed it.
All the time.
Twitter seems to think there's a...
something going on there?
Yeah. Is Brooke Mary? I don't know.
He might as well be an assistant coach. You know how they always interview the assistant coach?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like an assistant or Brooke Lopez. You know, Brooke Lopez is sweating all over Katie George. And, he's really good.
On video.
On video. Yeah, on video, too. Okay, I'll take those two guys. And the third guy, man.
Well, here's some of the answers so far. You can think of number three. John says Giannis, Mike Daniels, and Eric Kratz.
Oh, Kratzy's an easy one.
Kratzy?
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
Byron says Giannis, Kratz, and Eric Thames. And Ryan says Giannis, Lorenzo Cain, and Leroy Butler.
Well, Butler's, can you say pass?
Sure.
Oh, well, Butler's a good one. I just thought of the three teams who are still, the guys who are still playing.
Go however you want to answer the question. Okay. It's your prerogative.
Could say G-Easy, too.
G-Easy, yeah. Gary Ellerson, sure.
Yeah. No, I'll stick with those three. I'll say Kratz. Brogdon, you put Brogdon in the mix. Kid's going to learn something from Brogdon.
Yeah, that might be too much. I just want my kid to sleep and
have fun.
Yeah, I don't need a
be the Disney World
civics lesson.
Disney World babysitter.
Yeah, I like the Brooke Lopez one. I like Giannis, and then I might go Manny Pena. For a good good lullaby, he could sing a little Hotel California if you saw that video.
Yeah, I heard he was kind of out of tune.
Cranking the other day.
There's a sound on the doorway. Underneath the belt.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, that they come in the hell.
He just changed us to his walk-up music, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So we're going to hear that at Miller Park this year.
Hotel California, yeah.
Awesome. What's this? Is it just a song, or does he like the Eagles?
I don't know.
Okay. Wow. Drawing with a song that's almost 50 years old.
Hey, what do you say? What do you say? Now they got the whole team to do it. So I'm going to go Manny Pena for that reason, for the lullaby.
I mean, the Bucks and the Brewers, there's not so many bad selections on there.
No, good clubhouses.
I mean, both will clubhouse really good.
So you can tweet your question today for Twitter this week. You're in a pinch. You got a romantic getaway planned. Someone's got to watch your kid. Mm-hmm. Which three Wisconsin sports athletes are you picking to babysit? At 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use the hashtag CW Lunch.
I got another one. Brent Suter, obviously. Brent Suter?
Yeah, he won't even fill up a garbage bag.
I mean, yeah, he's trying to get people to buy into the water bottle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, an animated, fun guy. Yeah, Suter would be another one.
Although you'd probably have your kid wear the same diaper all weekend because...
Because he likes to save on the environment.
He's trying to protect the environment, which is fine. Which, I mean, I'm pro-environment, don't get me wrong on that. So you guys can tweet in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Big news yesterday for the Packers is that they made no news. Another defensive guy off the table this morning, Sheldon Richardson, defensive lineman, formerly with the Vikings. He's going to go to the Browns. So another guy off the table frames that, you know, there's a lot of these guys on defense and on offense getting scooped up. The Packers just, again, do they not know it starts till Wednesday? And are we fine with that?
Yeah. You know, you like to hear, are the Packers one-on-one with some of these teams? I mean, coming down to negotiating one-on-one with Kansas City or one-on-one with Washington, is it back and forth? I don't know. I mean, just, it, you know, the look is not good when they have $30, $35 million on a salary cap and they haven't budged at all. That's not a good look for Packer fans out there who saw the team struggle through another season and have a ton of money to spend. Need some areas, and some of these guys are off the board already.
But should they be spending that day one money? I mean, a lot of the money yesterday, like the Landon Collins deal, we talked to Ross Tucker, and he thought that, you know, with the Athletic, former NFL player, he had thought that Landon Collins was not going to get anywhere near the money that he was wanting. He ends up getting $45 million guaranteed, 6 years, $84 million, about $14 million per a season. And these guys were maybe expected to get 10, 12. But now you've got 14 out for Collins. You got 14 out for Matthew. Earl Thomas is yet to be signed. I think a lot of Packer fans want him. But if you sign him even 2 years, $30 million, that's 15 per. Does that stretch the Packers too thin for all the other needs? The problem is they've got so many needs. It's almost like maybe Gutekunst is on the phone and he doesn't know who to dial. And by the time he's going to call somebody, they're out with other teams.
But if
there's so many holes.
But if you spend $15 million, that's half of the money right there onto the cap. But still, it's a guy who's going to come in there and give you a veteran presence. I mean, from the Legion of Boom, man, he may have seen his better days, but still, he's a guy out there who I think he's going to get paid because, you know, some of the guys ahead of him saw some big contracts, Collins and the Honey Badger. So he's going to get paid too.
We asked you guys, did the Packers miss out by not making an early move in free agency? Some of the tweets coming in, you guys can chime in, 799-1250 as you're out and about this morning. Lou says, it's odd to me anyone expected them to sign anyone of value. Gutekunst is a Thompson disciple. Value, value, value. Sure, the Jets got two linebackers we could have used, but I'm sure our 56-year-old Clay Matthews will be good enough to get us to 6-10. Hashtag maybe in 2020.
Oh, yeah. The Packer news right there that, you know, some of that came out at the combine last week. The Packers were talking about bringing back Matthews at a reduced rate.
Like, yeah, at least kicking around with his agent.
1 year, $5 million, but you need more than that.
What a contract might be.
Yeah.
David says Packers missed out by not making the move yesterday. Same old, same old. Using the draft won't get this roster up to snuff. Gary Ellerson on your big show always says that free agency is for losers. Last time I checked, 6-9-1 is a losing record. I was hoping the Packers would make a splash yesterday.
You mean, in other words, he doesn't like free agency?
Gary says the funny money's for losers.
Well, I mean, you could couple that with the draft. If you go all free agency, obviously, and draft poorly, you're not going to win, but you need to supplement the draft through free agency.
See, I would have been excited if they signed somebody yesterday, but when you look at the teams that did get involved, it was the Redskins, the Lions, the Titans, the Niners, Jacksonville, the Bills, the Raiders, Cardinals, and the Jets. When have those teams seen success?
Well, the Packers are bad too right now. The Packers are 6-9-1, so how come they were the only bad team?
You can attribute that to the Rodgers injury, can't you?
Well, the bad team was bad. The team was bad last year.
Teams that are bad, they seem to think that perennial the way to get bad. Not bad yeah. is to spend a bunch of money, and then they continue to be bad.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the issue I'm running into is, yes, I would like a guy. I want players on this team. And if you got to spend money to do it, spend money to do it.
Yeah.
Are these guys worth it? Well, I mean, is Chris Middleton worth 30? Probably not. The Bucks got to keep him, I think. So they're going to spend the money to do it. Packers need guys on defense. They've got some holes offensively. Spend your money to do it if you need it. But then the teams that are spending money, they just always stay in this perpetual have to spend money, never good. So it's kind of like, which side of the coin do you like?
See, the injury with Rodgers. Okay, I mean, he played all the games last year. He played hurt. It was the year before, 2017, when they were really bad. And he started half of the games because of his injury. And he missed all those games, and then he came back late in the year. But, I mean, he played in all the games. You know, last game of the season, he played for, what, a quarter before, or barely a quarter before he got knocked out with a concussion. So he played last year. He just didn't have a very good season.
Let's get to Jason, South Milwaukee, 799-1250. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Bart. You know, I like what you had to say, bro, about, you know, the fact that, you know, there's just a lot of holes in this team right now, and Brian Gutekunst is probably his head spinning right now like a bobblehead trying to figure out where to put it, what to do, and how to do it. And that's because of Ted Thompson. That's a direct result of all the moves or the lack of moves that he made the last 3 years. And then, you know, but Gary Ellerson to say that the first day is for losers and all that funny money, no, it's not. I mean, I don't know when Reggie White was brought into Green Bay, at what part of free agency that happened, or Charles Woodson, but those weren't loser picks. Those were necessary picks that were needed. We needed to grab those guys in order to win Super Bowls. I mean, and I don't know who – I don't think Landon Collins is worth $84 million.
Yeah.
I don't. But I think the Honey Badger would have been nice. I do. I think C.J. Mosley would have been nice. I'm not saying go out and just dump all this money and then hurt the team down the road, but they've got to do something. And this is all on Mark Murphy. This season right now is so incredibly important. We are a losing team right now. We haven't made the playoffs in 2 years. It's disappointing. You know, and something's got to be done about it. And what do? You need an offensive lineman. All these idiots out there talking about A.B. No, we don't need A.B. For what? Just to go ahead and do well in the regular season? And then hit a wall nasty style in the playoffs? Because that's what happens when you don't have a defense. Those opposing defenses, they can adjust their game plan and then shut down an Aaron Rodgers-led offense, like has happened in the past. In most recent history, the Atlanta game. I mean, I just hope the Packers have something up their sleeves in regards to getting us some kind of help defensively. Right now, defense has got to be it. The offensive line has got to be it. I like the offense where it's at. Leave these second-year wideouts alone. Let them grow and develop. I think there's good things on the road for them. You know, and I think our running game's solid. I think our tight end position is questionable right now, but let's roll with it and see what happens. Right now, it's got to be defense.
Yeah, I think the tight end, they're going to fix that through the draft and grow with that guy. You know, I think the biggest part of this, of course they need an edge rusher, but, man, who's going to play safety? If you had to start the season right now, you have no legit NFL starting safeties right now. None. You traded away Clint Dixon. He wasn't very good. Bryce isn't very good. He was hurt anyway, but he's not any good. You have nobody really at safety. You have no starting safeties right now. And, man, if you draft a couple, that's a tough position to learn first couple of years in the league.
You're looking at Tremont Williams, who they still may cut, Josh Jones, Kentrell Bryce, as you said, or Eddie Pleasant.
They might, well, with Josh Jackson, another guy, they might move to safety.
Oh, they could put him back there.
Yeah, there's a thought about maybe because he's a better ball hawker and good ball instincts that they might put him back at safety, but who knows?
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. 414-799-1250 is the Packers' silent day one of free agency. Is day one of free agency for losers? Or did the Packers miss out yesterday? More from you guys coming up next. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. A little Five for Freems coming up. We'll hit on free agency. We'll hit on the Bucks. We'll hit on the Brewers. Also before 8 o'clock, Jimmy Nelson back on the mound yesterday. How that went. Some good, some bad. But just the fact that there's good and bad is good. So we'll get to that before 8 o'clock. Gary Wolfel will join us 8:20. Talking some Packers and, well, their inactivity yesterday. A couple of tweets just coming in here over the commercial. TG says, first day is for losers. What the hell are the Packers? Losers! It's that arrogance of this fan base that is giving them a smack in the face with reality right now.
Now, does he mean losers, I mean like everybody, or losing teams when Gary says it?
Well, so Gary Ellerson has said, and this is via a tweet, so I did not hear him say these words for his, you know, connotation or whatever. The first day of free agency is for losers. Well, the Packers are losers.
Are losers. If you think teams are losing record, yeah, the Packers definitely are.
As of late. And I would have been, had I, you know, saw the news come across that the Packers signed Landon Collins, I'd be excited. If I saw the news they signed LaMarcus Joyner or even Anthony Barr, who we all hate, I'd be excited because they have recognized the need and they're trying to get better and they're taking the means to do that. But when, again, you look at the teams that spent yesterday, Redskins, are they a loser?
Yes.
Are the Lions losers?
Hey, the Redskins, I feel like they do this every year.
Are the Bills losers?
Redskins make a big splash in free agency. They sign somebody and then they're regretting it years later.
Are the Jets losers?
They're all.
Are the Cardinals losers?
Bad.
Now, the Rams were able to circumvent that. So you do have teams sometimes that spend a little in free agency. And, well, the Eagles did a couple years ago, too. So you do have teams that if they do it smart, they can use free agency and the draft to take themselves to the Super Bowl. But for the most part, a lot of the day one stuff are contracts that it's a lot of money. It's certainly too rich for the Packers' blood. It's not the Packers' way, or at least hasn't been under Ted Thompson, and it seems like that's continuing here under Brian Gutekunst. Jeremy says, guys, stop being so down. Green Bay hasn't spent yet. The return investment on the contracts offered so far is not worth what's being paid. Can you guys stop trying to get the fans all wound up? I hope the same crazy money doesn't drive the cost for re-signing Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark too high.
Well, I mean, Bakhtiari got big money when he signed a couple of years ago, and he is. I mean, left tackle, you're going to get a lot of money. I don't think we're driving the fan base crazy. I think the fans have, you know, even prior to us coming on the air, nobody was excited yesterday when you didn't hear all these other teams are signing guys, and the Packers didn't sign anybody, especially with all this money. They've never had this much money to spend.
Now, the Packers, they do it right for the most part. Devontae Adams is going to cost about $10 million on the cap this year. Devontae Adams is a top-five receiver in the league. The Colts throw a one-year deal to Devin Funchess, and they're going to pay him $13 million. So would you rather have Devin Funchess for $13 million or Devontae Adams for $10? I think the answer is pretty simple there. So the Packers have, when they re-sign their own guys, they're able to do it because if Devontae was on the free agent market with those prices, I mean, he could be going for $18, $20 million per season. So good on the Packers for that. I think what people are looking at and why there might be more frustration now than in years past is because it's a different regime. And so you kind of get all jittery and there's a little more promise you might spend. But also, I think the need on defense especially was greater this year, and there's a lot of defensive guys available. Now, there's still the free agency period officially hasn't started, so we are not proclaiming this done. We are looking at what happened yesterday, if you're upset that the Packers did not sign anyone yesterday, and what they can do going forward. We are not trying to be some hype machine, get everybody mad on an otherwise pleasant Tuesday. We're just talking about what's happening.
No, I mean, the fact is the Packers haven't signed anybody yet. And some of these guys who would have been nice in Green Bay haven't come here. I mean, even C.J. Mosley, man, going to the Jets, another guy. Matthew going to Kansas City, Collins. I mean, these are all guys who would be able to help the Packers, all guys. And, you know, the Packers lost out on all those deals.
So what we're doing is just getting your reaction to what's happened.
Yeah,
that's what we do. That's how Chuck and Winkler works. That's how the fan, it's called the fan. That's how we operate. Let's get out to Irv, 799-1250. What up, Irv?
Hey, Irv.
Hey, man, listen, if you're a true Packer fan, you know, this is what you get every year, you know, and so to get yourself upset about it, it just, it is what it is. You know, sometimes I think that Mark Murphy and, you know, all they care about is the revenue up there. And, you know, as long as that stadium is filled every week, you know, and they put a somewhat a decent product, especially number 12 out there, they're comfortable. And like I said, I don't think we needed the AB because you look at the top receivers around the league, you know, when they don't have a quarterback, they're mediocre. You ask Larry Fitzgerald, you know, he talked about not having a quarterback. His play suffered. So I was good on the offense, but my problem was with these first players that were taken yesterday is that there were impact players. There were players that were going to make your defense better, you know, defense feared. You know, the only one I really wanted was Landon Collins because I felt like when you have a leadership in that backfield, you got those young D-backs, they're hungry, they want to play, and you got some veteran leadership back there, that makes all the difference. You know, you look at the first years of Seattle, the Legion of Boom, they had Cam Chancellor and all them players. It was about leadership. You had those guys back there that knew what they were doing and had them guys ready to play. So that's why I was disappointed out of. They can get the D4 done or something like that, then, you know, I'd be satisfied. But I'm sick of getting everybody. I want the players that teams don't want to get rid of. I don't want the players that teams are willing to get rid of, you know. And that's just how I feel about it. That's, we always take this. We're a team with second chances almost.
Yeah, with Gutekunst, under Thompson, I mean, it was just a given that he wasn't going to spend any money. I think Gutekunst will spend the money. He's got to spend some of this money. And I think we're going to give him a couple more days. I mean, a couple of days from now, you might be saying, you know what, well, look at on Tuesday. We were panicking because he had not signed anybody. I'm going to give him some more time on this. But I mean, initially, some of these guys – but the problem is, Bart, is some of these guys – I wanted them to either sign Collins or the Honey Badger.
I think it's the process that gets people a little alienated. A couple of good tweets here. This is from Ronnie. He says, I can't remember the last time there was excitement with the Packers. And that's a good point. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Packer Buckaroo lays it out perfectly. He says this, Packers want guy. Packers in on guy. Packers close in on guy. Guy between Packers and one other team. Packers don't get guy. Apologists explain why Packers not getting guy is best. Rinse, wash, repeat. Hashtag Packers free agency.
I mean, the only guy who the Packers...
If we weren't like in on all these guys, Packers are in on this guy. And then you're like, okay, check my phone. Did it happen yet? Oh, guy who signed with the Eagles. Well, then what did I just...
That always happens. Now, the only guy... who was the top free agent out there, who the Packers have ever really signed, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Reggie White. He went to every team, it seemed like. All the contenders went to, like, Green Bay, one of his last teams, and somehow, you know, the Lord told him to sign with Green Bay. But, I mean, the Packers weren't even on the radar until he visited up there because there was, like, San Francisco and all these other teams that he might go to. But he ended up, and he was the top free agent. But have the Packers since signed a top free agent on the free agent market since the Reggie White signing? I can't think of one.
Like a day one big?
I mean, he wasn't a day one, but he was the big fish out there.
No, everybody else, and they work, but they all come late.
Yeah.
Woodson came late.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come here. Peppers was a little later.
Yeah.
Let's get out to Wally in Muskego. What's up, Wally? 799-1250.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, you had a caller earlier, you know, talking about Antonio Brown and that. I think that is the worst way the Packers could have spent the money. I totally agree with that caller that the young guys that they have on offense, I think their offense is fine. They could use somebody on the offensive line. Now, I don't know whether there's anybody in free agency that's worth it or if they got to go into the draft. But, you know, the main thing is the defense. I think that, and there's going to be a lot of people maybe that disagree with me here, but I think that if you can get Clay Matthews back at a reduced price and maybe move him inside, the guy still has a motor. He plays hard. He's still very disruptive. on any play. And I think that if he goes someplace else, that the Packers are really going to regret it. You know, with that, they need another linebacker. They need somebody to rush on the edge. So this draft is so deep with players. So they got to move Matthews inside. They got to give him some help. The one place I thought that they could have spent, and a lot of money is, I really wish they would have went after Landon Collins. I thought that would have been a great, you know, a great pickup. And the caller you just had that talked about that defensive backfield and having a leader and a good play caller back there is just crucial. So they could have spent some money there, but leave that offense alone, man. Just, you know, maybe get someone to protect Rodgers. And, you know, the new rumor that Mark Ingram, they could be going after him as a backup running back or something. That's kind of interesting. But other than that, let them young receivers develop. I think you're going to see a leap here in year two with them.
Yeah, with Matthews, I think they everybody realizes, and I'm sure Clay does too, he's not a frontline guy anymore. He's a backup. And he might go to Los Angeles to play for the Rams, who've got a lot of defensive talent, and he could be a situational guy with the Rams. But I agree with you, man. Moving him inside in Green Bay, that would be his best bet, because he's no longer one of those guys who's a guy who's going to be an every-down guy coming off the edge and making plays for you. He's 33 years old. His best days are beyond him. The injuries have taken their toll, probably a little bit, Bart, here. And, I mean, if the Packers don't re-sign him, the Rams might be the team. He's from out there. He went to school at USC. That might be the place he's at. He's got a home out in Los Angeles. That might be the place he heads.
Let's get out to John in Franklin. Johnny, good morning.
Hi, John.
I don't know if it's a good morning. Yeah, I'm a little nervous, I'll be honest, and I'm trying to get a hold of it because I understand that a majority of the teams that made signings yesterday are perennial overpayer bad football teams.
Sure.
So I'm trying not to get too worked up. But the problem is we've been spending the last 6 weeks looking at this list of impact players, like Irv said, impact players that were available. Some of them got re-signed by their own teams, but now we see some of them, like Trey Flowers, going to the competition. And it's scary because the difference is before we used to, you know, complain and gripe about Ted Thompson, but we were going to the playoffs. Now we're getting close to being the whipping boy in our own division. We cannot stand for this. We just can't. So I'd like to see Earl Thomas, but I know he wants to go to Dallas, but Dallas doesn't want to pay him. That they need at least one impact player. And what that will do, it will also take a little pressure off the draft, because if they don't bring a difference maker in the free agent period and they just line themselves like they usually do with a bunch of value guys, now you're putting all this pressure on all the picks in the draft, and maybe a Pro Bowler at a different position will pop up, and the boat has so many holes you haven't filled yet, and you're forced to reach for somebody a couple picks down the road just to fill a need.
Yeah, the thing about signing Earl Thomas, and I'd like to sign him too, it could go either direction. He could come here, be the veteran they need in the secondary at the safety spot, and work out terrifically, or he could come here and it could be like, wow, he's seen better days at safety, and he's toward the end of the rope, and it was a bad signing. So that's the one little mystery with Thomas. Which way is
the risk with most?
Well, but
guys.
I mean, but an aging guy coming off injuries.
Sure,
that's that. I think he's been around the league 8 or 9 years now, coming off a few broken legs. I think that's the one concern with him. Not, you know, a guy like Landon Collins, you think he's still got an upside. You know, that's why he gets 6 years, $88 million. But with Thomas, who knows what direction that's going to go. I would still take a chance.
Paul tweets in, says, this roster might be the worst in the whole NFL, so I am disappointed. The roster is so bad, we might as well just throw crap at the wall and hope something sticks. Jason says, we need defensive help. Addressing that on the bottom shelf of the market will not help. Addressing that in the draft will not help. The time is now.
Yeah, and I think, though, if the Packers went out there and spent some money on offense today, Packer fans are going to be upset, and I understand that because, you know, they need help on the defensive side. Let's say they signed an offensive player. Let's say they signed an offensive lineman.
I've got an offensive guy we can go get, and we'll talk about this at 8 o'clock. How about Odell Beckham Jr.?
Would be fine. Would be great if they could go get him.
Would you do it for number 12? We'll talk about that at 8 o'clock. Not Rodgers, pick number 12.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at 8 o'clock. Still got to talk some Jimmy Nelson and some Five for Frames.
I was also giving that some consideration.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, where today kids do eat free after 4 o'clock. Kids eat free after 4 p.m. When you get a meal, your kid will get a free kids meal after 4 o'clock. That's Tuesdays and Saturdays at Perkins. They've also got the $9.99 burger combo you can choose from, where you get a burger piled high with fries and a slice of pie, and you get it all for under 10 bucks. That's at Perkins. That's good any time of the day. Even this morning, if you think I'm not in the mood for a burger, how about a breakfast burger with the patty on there and the hash browns and the applewood smoked bacon and the cheddar cheese? And it's like as big as your head, so it definitely will be filling. Check that out at Perkins, and again, it's kids eat free after 4 o'clock today. Frame's got a bunch of questions for you related to all of our favorite teams. Some Mike Moustakas, some Brooke Lopez. How about some TJ Lang? We'll hit it all coming up next. Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash, right.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We'll talk some Jimmy Nelson as he returned to the mound in about 10 minutes here. Packers silent in free agency. What if they go via a trade? And what if they're able to scoop up Odell Beckham Jr.? Why that may be possible and what the Packers would have to give up to do that at 8 o'clock. All right, Chuck, you ready? Five burning questions for you and
ahead,
only
player.
You.
Yes.
Question number one. I'm going to give you five names here, former Packers, that could be available. Mm-hmm. Ha Ha Clinton Dix, Ty Montgomery, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, Jared Cook. You have those names?
Yeah.
Ha Ha Clinton Dix, Ty Montgomery, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, and Jared Cook. Over, under 0.5, how many the Packers sign in this free agency period?
I'll say under.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say the most likely would be Cook. But not likely, but I mean, of all those five guys, Montgomery's not coming back. Ha Ha for sure is not coming back. TJ Lang, too much of an injury history recently. You know, when he went to Detroit, people were crying about that. Turns out, you know, the Lions did not make a good signing there. He did not stay for the 3 years of his contract, ended up getting cut anyway. So I'll say under.
So zero.
Zero.
TJ Lang could be a candidate for retirement, according to our friend Aaron Nagler over at CheeseheadTV.com. Jared Cook would be interesting, but it seems like I don't know what they're going to do with tight end. You think one's getting drafted.
He was a little hurt when he wasn't asked back.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Packers screwed him over.
Yeah, he was not.
They had him on one line and then reached out to Marty on the other.
Yeah, and Marty Bennett didn't turn out, obviously.
Ha Ha, there was some talk of maybe him returning.
Really?
He's been bouncing around Milwaukee the last few weeks.
Okay.
I think he was just at a school in Franklin.
I'd be surprised.
But there was talk that he wanted to team up with Landon Collins. Landon Collins now going to Washington, where I don't think they want Ha Ha Clinton Dix back since they saw how bad he could be.
Yeah, so, I mean, to bring back Ha Ha to fix the safety spot would not go over well.
No. It would not. So over under, you'll take
zero.
Under. A couple more over unders for you. We talked a lot about Antonio Brown yesterday, and I was saying that, look, the Steelers ain't any good either, man. You can trash the Raiders all you want, but the Steelers are on the downturn as well. So combined between the Raiders and the Steelers, over under 16.5 wins combined.
Here's the only problem with that statement you just made. I mean, the Steelers at least have got a little recent history. The Raiders are just terrible forever.
Oh, that's why I'm saying they're on the downturn.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the rear view.
We'll see what the Steelers.
Don't let the rear view mirror fool you on what's ahead, Chuck.
We'll see what the Steelers do in the future here.
That's what I'm saying. So 16.5.
Yeah.
Whatever the over under is for the Steelers this year, I want to bet you like $200 that it goes under.
Hmm. Wow.
Well, because you're all hung up on how they played. Well, they're going to be bad.
Hey, my theory is anytime you want to go big on something, I'm all in on the other end. So, yeah, when that comes up, we'll do that right on training camp.
So we'll find what that is. But the BART over-under for the combined win total between the Raiders and the Steelers, mm-hmm. I have set for you at 16.5 over or under.
I'll say just under. I'll say just under.
Just under. That's 16. About 8-9 wins a team.
Yeah, I'll say just under. I'll say under.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the Steelers have been good. I don't think they're going to be good anymore.
Well, that's fine, but I think the Pittsburgh organization has been strong. They might be on the downside. They missed the playoffs this past year, but man, Oakland has just been awful.
I'm willing to bet you that the Raiders win more games than Pittsburgh this year.
Hmm. We'll see. See how free agency goes here. We'll readdress that one down the road.
Question number 3. Got another over-under for you. The official over-under came out for the Wisconsin Badger football squad. 8.5 wins. Over or under. That's from BetOnline.
They'll trip into some non-conference wins. They play still in the West. They got to win the Axe back. I'll say 8.5. I'll say over. I'll say over.
You think they start Graham Mertz week one?
I don't think so. Not that he's not going to see any playing time, but it's, like we've said, it's tough for a true freshman to come in the Big Ten and get some playing time right away. He's eventually going to be their guy. But, you know, we've been hyped up on other guys who've come in there as freshmen, including the guy we just lost, Hornibrook. and how did that end?
Remember the name Austin Kafensis?
Exactly. The Big Show remembers him well. Yeah. Look at all the hype they gave him. And where did Kafensis end up?
Where is he,
at Nevada now?
I was a producer for them the day that we had his dad on.
Yeah.
And it was like the greatest show ever. We were all pumped that we got Mr. Kafensis on.
Yeah, and that didn't work out too well for them.
We were pretty charged up.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. Graham Mertz will definitely play. The new redshirt rule where you get 4 games before you have to decide
we'll see.
Whether you redshirt or not. He'll play.
We don't know if he's going to play his freshman year.
He will play. I'll bet you on that, too.
Okay. Time comes, yeah. But I mean, if somebody wins the starting job and he does well, you know, they're not going to just put Mertz in to get him some playing time.
Well, sure they will. The redshirt rule now is you can play in 4 games and still have your eligibility.
I'm saying if they're winning some games, they're just not, and they're winning with a quarterback, they're just not going to throw him into a game in a tight game or in a game where that's, you know,
they're not going to throw him in the fourth quarter in a blowout.
Well, in a blowout, I was saying they could throw him in some garbage time. But how many of those games? How many garbage times are there going to be for the Badgers?
Well, a lot, because they'll be getting their ass kicked.
So you're saying under?
8.5 is all right. Tricky.
Yeah. Well, if you think they're going to get their ass kicked, you're saying they're Illinois.
Who's their non-conference teams? Well, like South Florida.
I mean, if you say they're going to be bad. Man,
no, I'll take a look here.
They're going to get their ass kicked. I wouldn't go that far.
Let's see. See, I'd made a joke, and now I have to defend it the rest of the season because you didn't get it.
No, because you're...
South Florida, Central Michigan, Kent State, that's 3 wins.
I'm just going on basically what you're saying here.
Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota.
South Florida, Central Michigan, those should be wins.
I just said that.
I mean, those should be wins. I'm saying they should be wins.
I just said that.
I'm telling you what I'm saying. I think they're going to be wins. Boy, look at the schedule. They play a non-conference game the 5th week of the season after playing 2 Big Ten games. That doesn't make any sense.
Whatever. I'll drink the juice. I'll take over.
We can go down. We'll save that for the season.
I'll drink the juice.
Well, we can save that down the line.
Question number 3. I was really enjoying the national broadcasters on the Bucks lately. I like hearing... I love Jim and Marcus and John and Steve. But I like hearing Kevin Harlan on the call. And I like hearing Marv Albert on the call. So given your choice of these 3 national guys, Who would you rather see on the call for a Bucks game? Kevin Harlan, TNT. Marv Albert, TNT. Mike Breen, ABC. Which of those voices? Doesn't matter if it's the Mike Breen, because that means it's
first
the
first one he said was Kevin?
Kevin Harlan, oh. Marv Albert, and Mike Breen. Who do you enjoy listening call a basketball game more?
I thought you were going to put B.A. in there.
All right, how about that too, B.A.?
I'd take B.A. But I'll take, if I couldn't have B.A. in those three originals, I'd take Kevin Harlan. Although Marv's a legend. I like Kevin Harlan's call, man. I like Kevin's heart, you know, the playoff games he does and all that. And he's terrific on radio. But, I mean, on TV, he's, you know, fantastic too. So I'll say Kevin Harlan.
What is Mike Breen? You know, this guy calls the NBA Finals. He's been calling it for 10 years. It's like nobody knows who he is.
He's just...
How many of you guys this morning, when I said Mike Breen, can you picture him? Do you know where you heard him? Do you know what he sounds like? He's the guy that calls the NBA Finals. That's Mike Breen.
I think in New York.
Where does he hide?
I mean, he's the Knicks broadcaster.
When do we ever hear that?
No. I'm just saying that he's the full-time Knicks guy. At least I thought
Isn't Ian Eagle over there?
He does Brooklyn, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, he does Brooklyn. And, you know, Marv is Marv. But I would take I'd take Kevin Harlan. Mike Breen, though, he's kind of like the faceless guy who does the NBA Finals.
Yeah, he does the Finals
you
every
think
year.
You think more of
Van Gundy?
Van Gundy and Jackson.
Yeah. Question number five. I like doing these ones where I pick a number and then look at all the teams in our state. These three guys wear the number 11. Who will be the last man standing in Wisconsin sports? Will it be Trevor Davis? Will it be Brooke Lopez? Will it be Mike Moustakas? Who will be here the longest?
I'm going to say Brooke Lopez.
They re-sign him?
I think Moustakas is probably a one and done. Surprised he's even back.
I am too.
After it sounded like David Stearns, because he gave him the old at the end of the season. Well, we wish him well. He was very good for us. We wish him well. And then, you know, Moustakas ended up coming back.
Could I be allowed the floor to talk back something I said?
Sure.
I am on board the Mike Moustakas signing. I was not if they were going to move Shaw to second base. That's what I did not want to see. I did not want to see Shaw at second. I did not want them to do that to Shaw. Mike Moustakas is your second baseman. They worked it out. He's going to hit for some power at Miller Park. That's going to be a good signing for them. So I'm saying it now. I don't want people chirping at me when Moustakas has 10 homers by May 1st that I was wrong. Whatever you think about me and Moustakas, I did not want it at first because of Travis Shaw. But once you're keeping Shaw at third and having Moustakas play second, I am okay with that. So this is an official walk back of a hot take.
Moustakas. Okay. Now, I did not want Moustakas playing second base. But here, he's done enough at second base. And Council has said, Moustakas is not going to have great range at second base, but he's got good instincts and all that. And Council, who's in his playing days, very fundamentally sound as an infielder. If he's good with Moustakas, and he gives Moustakas a stamp of approval playing second base, then I'm good with it.
Yeah, Moustakas, only nice things being said about
him by
Council.
I've not seen him in spring training play second base at all. So, but if they're good with him at second base and they say, hey, Council at this point says, that's my everyday second baseman, then I'm fine with it.
Big day for the Brewers yesterday. They do win, if you guys are keeping track. They beat the White Sox 8-5. None of these games matter, remember, whether it's against the White Sox or the Cubs. Doesn't matter. But Jimmy Nelson getting out there, throwing an inning, throwing about 93 on his first pitch. It was about 94, 95 last year. And then he gave up a home run, but he did eventually strike out the side. Jimmy Nelson afterwards said he felt good. It was good to have the team out there supporting him.
No, it was good. It was really good today. And you know, those really just two pitches that weren't quality pitches. But as far as, you know, I think I got a swing and miss on all my off-speed stuff, so that was good.
I'm still skeptical we get to the point where he's starting a game this season for the Milwaukee Brewers. I would like to make another walk back or clarification. I am rooting for him. I don't want people to think I'm not rooting for him. Yesterday, we talked to McKelvey. I was talking a lot about Jimmy Nelson. I think he's delusional at times, where he thinks he's going to get back out there and there's always going to be a setback. I am rooting for him. He's worked hard for this.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and we saw with his teammates sticking around yesterday.
Yeah, you don't see the whole team at spring training much.
Giving him a standing ovation. The crowd gave him a couple of standing ovations. The guy has worked his ass off to try to come back. I mean, how could you not root for a guy like that?
He's got a long way to go.
He sure does. He does. And he's not ready for the starting rotation. And we'll see when he pitches again. But it was encouraging to see the reports where his breaking stuff was pretty good. His fastball topped out at 95 a couple of times. So, yeah, I mean, that's an encouraging first performance for him. You know, you don't look at the pitching line. You just look at, you know, how he was able to get out there and throw without pain. So we'll see how he's doing today.
What did we spend the first 2 hours of the show on? The Packers not signing anybody? Is that what we did?
Yeah. We did an hour and a half on that.
Yeah. Might as well burn those podcasts, burn those tapes. According to Ian Rappaport, the Packers are expected to bring in a huge addition, bringing in former Ravens edge rusher Za'Darius Smith.
Wow, okay.
They tried to trade for him a few years ago. They are in prime position to sign him now.
He is one of the top free agents that are still out there. A linebacker, unrestricted, played with Baltimore, I want to say.
That's not as, like, cemented as some of these other tweets from Rappaport. The Packers are expected to bring in. They are in prime position to sign for him now. I'll wait for another tweet, because all these other tweets are like, this guy is going to sign for this much money, this many years. But the Packers are expected, and they're in a position. So does that mean we're signing him?
Who knows? I mean, if he says they're in position to sign him, let's wait for some more information on that. Now, he's recovering from sports hernia surgery in January, which is not a big deal. Had a big year in the final year of his contract, 8.5 sacks in 16 games, 45 tackles. And according to CBS, priced himself out of Baltimore's price range.
Did something just happen during our show?
Rarely.
Wow.
Yeah. This is supposed to happen at 10 o'clock during Bill's show.
Yeah. This is.
Yeah.
This is something. All right. According to Ian Rappaport, the Packers are expected to bring in a huge addition, bringing in former Ravens edge rusher Za'Darius Smith. They tried to trade for him a few years ago, in prime position to sign him now. We'll talk about that with you. If you guys called in and complained in the last 2 hours about how the Packers weren't doing anything, you're granted another call to take that back.
We're going to redo those 2 hours, and we're going to be on until noon now.
Yeah, we got to
redo those podcasts.
We got to start over. It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll have more on this. We will cram everything you need to know about Za'Darius Smith coming up next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.